Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Good afternoon and welcome into ABQ Connect. Really interesting guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you joined us today. My friend Dave Slade, we all know him and his business, Dave Slade & Associates, doing real estate around the city for how long, Dave, now?
35 years now.
35
Jim.
Years. That's a few years. You've sold a few homes.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And of course, your partner is your wife, Holly.
Yes.
And we've also had Holly involved in her Feed New Mexico Kids ministry. Dave is also involved in many things in the community besides serving as a realtor. He is an author, and it's interesting to read Dave's information because he sees himself as a prophetic author, and he's taken all the great Bible stories and coined a couple of tremendous books, The Christ Virus and Dark Star Rising is the latest one. And Dave, I wanted to have you on the guest, as a guest today because I'm always interested in people that find a fascination with Bible prophecy.
Well, Jim, thank you. I appreciate being here, and I love to talk about prophecy. It's been very important for me, and you said I was a prophetic author. I wouldn't coin it quite that way. I write prophetic fiction.
Gotcha.
So what I do is I take a prophecy, and I take the nuggets from it, and I turn it into stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I do.
And I got to tell you, there's lots of gaps we have to fill in, because when you read Bible prophecy, and I'm going to ask you about some of that as we move forward in the interview, but most of us, we know that Jesus is coming back, but he's going to come as a thief in the night. We don't know when that's going to happen. But when you read things, you read scriptures like 2 Peter, which 2 Peter 3 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will all be burned up. And then a little bit later on, it says, looking for the hastening and coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. Well, this sounds like some scary stuff to me.
Yeah.
That's going to be happening.
Yeah, there's a lot. If you read through the judgments in Revelation, the bowl judgments, the trumpet judgments, it's pretty scary. And, I'm a pre-trib guy, which means I believe that the rapture will come prior to the tribulation, that the tribulation is not designed for the church. And I'm thankful that I believe that. I hope I'm right in that. But because what follows is very scary.
Well, we know about Dave Slade and Dave Slade and Associates. Tell us about Dave Slade and Jesus.
You know, I got saved when I was 19 years old, and I was a student down at State. And I remember... I
won't hold it against you that you're an Aggie.
Well, I didn't graduate from that. I graduated from San Jose State.
There you go.
I remember, you know, from the time I was a kid, I always felt that God loved me. Even though I didn't believe, I believed in God. And, I got teamed up with a sold out Christian. I was in a fraternity, and, he and I became roommates. And this guy loved the Lord. And every day he woke up in the morning singing Amazing Grace. And it was like scratching, you know, nails across the chalkboard for me, because I was just a fun loving heathen.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, the Lord started working on me through Tony. Tony Giuliano was his name. And he loved the Lord so much. And during that time that we were together, I got saved. And I remember that, I literally felt like I was walking a couple feet off the ground. My feet wouldn't touch the ground for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I was witnessing to everyone. I was a janitor at a church. I had a part-time job. And I remember going up to the pastor and asking if he was saved. You know, and he had this incredulous look on his face like, are you kidding, kid?
Yeah. Pastor, you could do a really good job if you'd get saved.
Yeah, exactly. But I had this great love for the Lord. And I believed at the time, God was calling me to be a pastor, and I'd been praying about what I should do, and the Lord led me into the field of journalism. So I was studying to be a print reporter, a newspaper reporter, and so I became troubled at the time. I was doing, I had a part-time radio show at the time. I did a talk show radio down there. And I just remember at the time thinking, you know, I'm not 100% certain God's calling me to be a pastor.
Sure.
And so I actually left school. I was away from school for 3.5 years. And I came back to it. And when I came back to it, I moved back just to California, my home state. And went to school at San Jose State and graduated with a degree in journalism and became a newspaper reporter. But to make a long story short, I fell away from the Lord, Jim, for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I went through some really horrific things. I was very bitter over a divorce. I felt like, you know, I'd done everything right, and yet I ended up in this situation that I didn't deserve. And I turned my back on the Lord, and my anthem kind of became, well, I'm going to do it my way. And that turned out to be a disaster. I mean, at the beginning, it was great because I became very, very successful in real estate and everything was fine. But eventually I came to this point in life where I was in a downward spiral and I didn't know it. And very often that's what happens to people. And God was bringing me back to himself by basically eliminating everything that I had counted worthy in my life. And I came back to the Lord when I was about 34 years old. I went to the school of ministry here at Calvary. And at that time, God put it on my heart. He says, you're not going to be a pastor, but you're going to stay in real estate and you're going to make a Christian witness in a business that's pretty greedy. And so that's what happened. And I still wanted to be a writer. I've always wanted to be a writer. And I finally came back to that passion at age 52 at a retreat up in Glorieta.
Fantastic. Well, we're learning about Dave Slade. Of course, we all know you as the owner of Dave Slade and Associates with your wife, Holly. And you guys have served the community now for 30-plus years. Amazing. Dave is also the author of a couple books, The Christ Virus and Dark Star Rising. Got a little secret. Another one's going to be coming out here pretty soon, so we'll talk to Dave about that. Stay with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. I got to learn how to talk, ABQ Connect. We'll be back right after these messages.
G'day to you, it's Joel and Luke here from the band For King Country with some thrilling news.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships of the World Tour in Albuquerque, New Mexico on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
It's going to be quite a night of music and stories. It's just going to be you and us. We'll be taking the stage at the top of the show. And in honor of Burn the Ships, the production design will be inspired by the bow of a ship, making it the most elaborate but intimate night you've experienced with us yet.
And we'll also be playing more music than ever before. Every song from our latest album, as well as many of your favorites, such as Fix My Eyes and Priceless. Fix My Eyes.
So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
Join us October 19th at Tingley Coliseum. Reserve your seats right now at forkeencountry.com.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we are all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
If you're doing a presentation, you want to make sure that you're moving but not pacing. A lot of times speakers will pace. They look like a lion in a cage. What you want to do is you want to move. What I like to do is I like to make sure I'm talking to everybody in the room. So I'll plant in the middle. I'll take a few steps. I'll talk to people on the side. I'll go back, plant in the middle, go to the other side, stop. And you want to make sure you're making eye contact. That way everyone in the room feels like you're talking just to them. You want to make your hands work for you and not against you. A good thing to do is to actually watch yourself on video and turn the volume off and see, is it pleasing to watch? Do I feel like I'm communicating something or am I not? Whenever I'm working with communicators, sometimes I'll make them do about a 3-minute communication with no words. They have to do everything like charades and using their body language to say what their body language to be consistent with what their words are actually saying.
That was Craig Groeschel on a KNKT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Dave Slade in studio with me this afternoon talking about being a prophetic novelist and taking all the scripture and Dave, there's so many things that appear to most people to be kind of vague, and you've created some amazing stories. Tell us a little bit about Dave Slade, the prophetic novelist.
Well, as I we left off before the break, at age 52, I was on a retreat up at Glorieta, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me about this crazy story, the Christ virus. And I had no clue where to start. I've always wanted to be a novelist, but being a newspaper reporter is quite different than writing fiction. I mean, you learn how to write nonfiction. Of course, today some of the reporters are actually more fiction than they are nonfiction.
That was very diplomatic.
But God was so faithful, he brought me two teachers. One had a master's degree in fine arts from Columbia, Missouri, one of the finest writing colleges in the country, and the other had a PhD in English, and she had already was under contract with a publisher for three books that she ended up writing. They taught me how to write fiction, and I worked with them for 2 years, and the first 6 months was pretty brutal. And, you know, I got beat up every time I met with them. But I learned how to write, and the Christ virus took 3 years to write, primarily because not only was I learning the craft of fiction, but I had to study virology, I had to study Islam, and a lot of different things that took a lot of research. I like to research my books, and my framework when I start out to write a book is scripture. So I go to a scripture, let's say it's Daniel, and a book in Daniel, and one of the verses in Daniel, and I will take that as the framework, and then from there I will create the characters and the situations that bring that scripture to life.
Outstanding. And the Christ virus, you mentioned that you felt kind of inspired with the story. What stimulated that?
Well, I think it was Holy Spirit that had given me the story. And just in a nutshell, it's a story that happens here in Albuquerque, and it's about a pastor of a small little church. And it's at a time where apostasy is rampant and people have fallen away, and we see the rise of radical Islam in the United States, and they have basically targeted Christians to go after Christians. And this South Valley pastor stands up and does something that becomes viral. And this church he starts is an underground church that becomes millions of people. And the story takes off from that point.
Hmm. Dave, do you think... It's always baffling to me how a religion like Islam, and I shouldn't even say a religion like Islam. What I should say, there's a radical side, just like there's a radical side to almost everything, but there's a radical side that is murdering people and killing people. And it's unbelievable to me that something like that spreads so quickly with popularity among people around the world. It's got to have a spiritual impact. There's got to be a spiritual reason for that happening.
Well, we know that in the Middle East, there's a lot of very dark powers. If we go back to Daniel, we remember the struggle that the angel Gabriel had with the prince of Persia, where Michael had to come mm-hmm. and basically release him. Those powers have been there for a long time, and that from those roots is where Islam came from. And Islam is a radical religion, period, over and out. I mean, I've read the Hadith, which are the interpreted sayings of Muhammad. I have read the Quran, which was his prophetic inspiration given to him by an angel, supposedly. Right. And it's pretty much death and destruction, and particularly to the Christians and to the Jews. Now, there's scriptures in there that are about peace and loving, but there is basically a lot of scripture to the contrary. And so for the believer that interprets it literally like we do the Bible, you can see how they come up with the beliefs that they have. Whereas the Bible tells us to love, to turn the other cheek, the Quran says, you know, death to the Jew first and then to the Christian, and that the whole world will worship Allah. And that's what they believe, and that is their eschatology, particularly among the Shiites, which represent Iran is primarily Shiite, and they have an eschatology that is very, very dangerous, because their eschatology says that Islam one day will rule the world.
And most people don't really look into different philosophies and religions as being particularly dangerous. We have a world that's saying, oh, accept everything, everybody, give tolerance to everybody. And in some ways, that can be very dangerous.
Yeah, it can. It definitely can. I mean, we're supposed to be Bereans. We're supposed to study. We're supposed to challenge ideas. And that's a good thing, not to just be spoon-fed whatever your pastor tells you, but to take it back to the Bible, to research. The same thing with ideas, mainstream ideas. Challenge those ideas. Research those ideas. I think we'd have a much better world if we did.
Dave, I get the sense, talking with you off air, that these books are meant not only for a ministry purpose and to direct people into maybe doing a little research into prophecy themselves, but they're also fun. They're entertainment.
Well, I hope they are. I reread both of them here just a few months ago, and I enjoyed them both. I think that Christians need to have Christian authors. They need to have authors that give them a good story. Reading is a pleasure. I grew up reading, and I love books, and so much so that my wife, she says, when are you going to clean out your room? You got books everywhere. But I love to read, and reading is a great gift from God. And word is important to God. The gift of story is important. We're wired for story. Mm-hmm. Why did Jesus tell parables? He told them because people would remember and they would understand principles because we connect with story. The same thing is true of these two books. They're stories, but they're stories about truth, and they're stories about prophecy presented in a way that is entertaining.
Dave Slade, author and prophetic novelist, taking the prophecy as we know it in the Bible and giving it some definition and a story behind it, because it is intentionally vague, I think, in many cases, and it's just fun for you and your book, The Christ Virus, and in Dark Star Rising to have created a story, and they follow one another. And we're going to talk to you a little bit more about Dark Star Rising when we come back. Stay with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back with Dave Slade.
Hey, Boudicke, Car Spa here. In the car care cleaning arena, Flex Service means one-stop everything, from express washing with courtesy vacuuming to our legacy full service and express and high-end detailing. We simply do it all at one stop, and we're the locals that have been doing it right for 46 years. We invite you to come and wash with us on the west side at our new Car Spa Flex West at 5401 Sevilla and Coors, across from Ginger's. See what you've been missing. Your car will be glad you did.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi, friends. John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Good afternoon and welcome back into ABQ Connect. We're coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford Power Ford. Appreciate their sponsorship. Dave Slade, of course, we all know Dave and Holly Slade. They have Dave Slade and Associates Real Estate, very longtime sponsors of programming here on KNKT. We appreciate that a lot, Dave. And you're doing a lot of ministry things. You've got a men's Bible study that you teach at Calvary Church. You're doing commercial real estate, and Holly's doing a lot of the residential side. I know you have so many clients over the years, though, you probably can't ever just specialize in either residential or commercial because you're probably in demand all over the place.
Yeah, Holly primarily now focuses on residential, and I focus on apartments and on commercial buildings and things like that. We also have a construction company. We do remodels, flip homes. I do that. I've got a contractor's license, so I've kind of branched out from the residential. But certain times if a certain client were to call me and say, hey, Dave, I just want to work with you.
Totally off the subject of talking about your books today, but you feel like the economy in New Mexico is starting to improve? What's your feeling about that?
Well, we have a good economy. Right now we have a lack of homes for sale, which is creating a lot of pressure on the market here in Albuquerque. So prices are continuing to go up. The rates are low. I understand the Fed is going to lower their rate, which should trickle down to mortgages, even though mortgages are pretty good right now. I mean, you and I go back a ways. We remember those times when the interest rates were sky high.
Oh, we thought 7% was a tremendous rate. Now yeah. They're what, in the 4 range, 3.5%?
There, yeah, 3.75 yeah. To 4. I remember when I first got into real estate, it was 14.5%, down from 18%. And when they got to 9.5, it broke double digits. We threw a big party at my real estate company. So today people would look at 9.5 and they'd say, no way.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back. We were talking about the Christ virus. Your first book took you 3 years to put it together. Tremendous book about the underground church being formed here in Albuquerque and that pastor, and then takes us toward the end of the story to the Antichrist begins to come to power and take us through the end of the book, and then that shifts us right into Dark Star Rising, which is your most recent book.
Right, right. Yeah, and Dark Star Rising, it picks up where that leaves off, and Dark Star Rising is about a very charismatic man who's also a military man, and he rises up and is able to bring peace to the Middle East, and then is assassinated by the protagonist in this book and comes back to life. But and the next book, which is different than one I've just finished, but that book will pick up with her as a female character, and the 144,000 Jews, she actually will be the leader of that, and those 144,000 Jews will actually be kind of militants. They'll be aggressively going after the Antichrist in the last book, which will be Enter Now Darkness.
Are any of these characters, do people ever contact you and say they're somehow offended by the presentation, or do most of them just have an intrigue that you've come up with a fictional story that fits with the Bible prophecy that we see in the Bible?
Well, so far, nobody's been offended over the characters, but you never know.
Right.
I try to create characters that I think are real. And that's the test of good writing. When you pick up a book, a book should speak to you through the reality. I mean, you can create you can take a book like The Lord of the Rings.
Right.
That J.R.R. Tolkien wrote. Now, that's a completely fictionalized world, Middle Earth.
Sure.
But he made it come alive. He made it seem real. And that's the quality of good writing. It doesn't matter what you're writing, science fiction or fantasy or contemporary, it has to be real.
Dave, how do you keep track of who's related to who and genealogies and all these things? I mean, you're about to release a third book, and there's a lot of characters that you're trying to keep track of.
Well, Dark Star Rising has got a lot of characters. And the way you do that is you basically write them out, and each one has a biography. And I know some writers, I've not done this, but some writers that sit down and literally interview their characters, just like you're doing with me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I remember a local author who's a good friend of mine, a tremendous writer, visiting with him one time. And I asked him the same question you asked me. And I said, how do you do this? How do you create these characters? And how much is enough in terms of research? He says, Dave, He said, sometimes I'll write 60 to 100 pages about one character. Not the story, just about the person.
Just background information.
Background. And so, in other words, you learn these people become real to you. You know them. You know exactly what they're going to eat when they wake up in the breakfast, what they're going to do before bedtime, what they dream about, everything.
Dave, I'm going to date both of us, but I got to bring this up. So when you first started writing, we were not even using Selectric typewriters.
Yeah.
The millennials today don't even know what a typewriter is.
Right.
So is our computers and things and the technology today, does it make it easier to keep track of all of this?
Oh, definitely.
Put all this together?
Definitely. I mean, you know, when I started as a newspaper reporter, I wrote on an old manual Underwood. And when you had to do edits, everything was line edited with a pencil. Or you cut and paste. The technology today is wonderful, and they have writing programs for novelists, for screenplay writers, you name it.
I remember taking loan applications when I first started in the real estate finance business, and if you made a mistake, we used a piece of carbon paper to make a copy.
Yeah.
So the typewriter would strike the carbon paper and make a copy on another sheet of paper.
Exactly.
And if you made a mistake, you had to start totally over.
Yeah, totally.
But we're both only 30 years old. I don't know how this math adds up. Hey, we're going to have more with Dave Slade talking about the Christ virus and Dark Star Rising and his new book coming out here. We don't know exactly when, but Dave's talking about releasing that fairly soon. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
The Holy Spirit is mysterious. That is a scriptural fact. Jesus said he moves like the wind, and yet Christians are clearly instructed to develop a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit, as Skip Heitzig reminds us.
You can't neglect the Holy Spirit, since the scripture is full of the Holy Spirit, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation.
Not only is the Bible full of the Holy Spirit, you can be too.
The Holy Spirit is a divine person who helps us. How many of you think you need all the help you can get to live your Christian life? Yeah, I'm with you. We need help.
Discover who the Holy Spirit really is and how he helps you with Pastor Skip's DVD study called Expound Holy Spirit. We'll send you a copy as thanks for your gift today to expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Plus, we'll also send you Skip's lifestyle booklet, Lust, How to Conquer It. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer. Or call 800-922-1888.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. Dave Slade in studio with me this afternoon. He is the author of The Christ Virus and Dark Star Rising, two novels, fiction that correlate very closely to actual Bible prophecy that you read as you go through the Word. And Dave, tell us why prophecy is so important.
You know, for me, and there's lots of different interpretations of prophecy, and Mark Hitchcock, who's one of my favorite authors, has got 10 reasons, but I'm going to share mine. And mine are, number one, that it gives me hope for the future. When I look at prophecy, prophetic scripture, and I see that it's actually happened. Let's say Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, that describes the rebirth of Israel. And it gives me chills. 2,500 years ago, Ezekiel wrote that, and it happened May 14th, 1948.
Most people don't realize, especially younger folks, that Israel wasn't here in 1948.
No, it wasn't.
And all of a sudden there's a war, and the odds on, you know, the Jews that were defending that land, they were outnumbered, had to be 100-1.
Well, it's a fascinating story. There's a beautiful story of Israel, history of Israel by Daniel Martin called Israel. And Israel didn't exist. Even the language had been forgotten. And in the late 19th century, Jews began to come from all parts of the world back to what was called Palestine. And they began buying land, which was swamp land. And they began doing basically what they knew was creating little farms, kibbutzes. And this is how Israel began. And it just continued to gain momentum. But this was a work of the Holy Spirit prophetically working on people to bring them back to their homeland. And it's just, it's amazing. But anyway, I read scripture and it's like, oh man, I mean, that's so great. Or you read Psalm 22 that talks about the crucifixion of Christ, written by King David, 1,000 years before it happened, and 500 years before the earliest mention of crucifixion by Herodotus. And you say, wow, I mean, there's no book ever written by man that can do that. This has got to be God's word. And so it reaffirms my faith. And then it gives us guideposts and warnings about the future. You know, we're told to be alert, on the watch, because as you said, you know, the end will come as a thief in the night. When Christ comes back, I mean, he didn't tell us when he's coming. He gave us the warning signs, and they're all over the place right now. But he didn't tell us when, because he knows man's nature. And we would just say, hey, you know, he's not coming back till next week. Let's just go out and party till then. Then we'll all get saved.
There you go. Dave, about every 2 years, there's somebody that comes out in the media as predicting the end of the world. What do you think about these folks that are doing this type of thing? Of course, you never hear about them after the world continues moving forward. But there's always a bunch of fanfare, a lot of media surrounding these so-called prophets.
Well, you know, I think people flock to these kind of people because they want a certainty. They want a security in knowing things about the future. That's why people are interested in astrology and different things and tarot cards and all these things. But the scripture is very clear. No one knows. Jesus said it himself when he was on earth. He said, no one knows, not even me. Now he knows now, but no one knows that time. And it is designed for a purpose because God knows man's nature. And, we have to have faith. We have to continue to live and to walk in faith. And part of that is knowing God is coming, that his word is true, but not knowing when it'll be.
Dave, there's a lot of Christians approaching the Bible as a rule book, but then you just mentioned that this is about faith. Explain the difference between those two things.
Well, there's a big difference. We have commandments to live by, to be obedient by, but Jesus was very clear that we're saved by grace. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by keeping every commandment. You know, the Pharisees kept a lot of the commandments. They didn't keep them all, but Paul himself said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, which means he was pretty good at keeping the commandments. But you cannot be saved by keeping the law. You cannot be saved by your good works. You're only saved by the blood of Christ. And that's it. There's no other way you can be saved. And so it's by God's grace that we're saved. And through that comes faith in Christ, to live a life of faith and to seek him and to live through Christ. And we're supposed to keep the commandments, because those guide us through our life, but they're not going to save us.
Dave, what's the difference between a person of faith and a religious person?
Well, I think a good example would basically be what Jesus dealt with. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were very religious. They were very religious, but they weren't people of faith. They didn't believe in God. They didn't have that personal relationship with God that's transforming. A relationship with God transforms a person. It takes a person that lives in the world and radically changes him. I always say that the person I am today, I never would have wanted to be before I became a believer. I looked at people who are Christians and said, man, they don't have any fun. Those people, you know, why would they want to do that? And yet I became one of those people. Mm-hmm. And now I have more fun, way more fun than I did before.
Yeah, because you're freed up and you're not held captive by second guessing everything that's happened in your life. And the thing that I've seen most about Christians is that they seem to have a joy because they know that they are forgiven. That what Jesus did on the cross is the most important thing, not what we do every day. All we have to do is receive it.
Absolutely. And it also gives us perspective in life, Jim. And that is that we know how this is going to turn out. Even the most weighty problems in life, I lost a child at 25 years old, and it was devastating to me. But you know, my faith carried me through that trial. And without that faith, I don't know what I would have done. I really don't. And it allows you to be able to deal with things in your life that without faith in Christ, life can be overwhelming. No wonder we're at record drug rates among young people, and people have no hope. Here we live in a country of great prosperity, and yet people are in more despair today than ever before.
How do you encourage people that are feeling despair? I mean, I can imagine that there's people sitting on the couch listening to this radio program, and they need to be encouraged. They need to be lifted up. They need to fill their minds with things that are not, you know, I would call it soap opera genre television. They can get a book like The Christ Virus or Dark Star Rising, and they can feel a little bit of intrigue and a build up, and really see, you know, kind of an approach to detail about vague things put in the Bible that we're anticipating, and really be entertained and encouraged. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think the most important message is a very simple message, and that is that God loves you. And he loves you so much that he gave Jesus Christ, his son, to die for you. It's a simple message, but it's so true. And most of us are searching for meaning, Jim. We want to know who we are and why we're here and where we're going. These, you know, huge questions that we have in our life. And God loves you. And he's the creator of the universe. You couldn't get an appointment with the president, but you can pray to God and enter his throne room. And I think to be able to give hope to people is to say, you know what? God loves you. He loves you, and he sent his son for you to die for you. You are important. He knows the number of hairs on your head. That is, to me, life-changing.
And what if you're faced with some circumstances? Obviously, there's consequences to doing things wrong. I mean, you might have misspent a bunch of money. You might have made poor investments. You might have ruined a relationship that is now gone. And all of that's painful. You mentioned the loss of a child, Dave. I can't imagine going through that. But you've obviously, you're a Christian person that has been injured, and you've made it through that struggle. Is writing therapeutic? Is it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I wrote my first book, I remember telling my wife, Holly, I said, you know, if this book is not successful, then I'm done. I'm never going to write again. I'm a businessman, and it needs to make money. And what I discovered, Jim, is that I'm a writer, and a writer writes, and I have to write. It's just like John Steinbeck says, you know, I nearly write every day just as I nearly breathe every day. And writing is part of me. It completes me. It fulfills me. And when I'm writing, I feel complete. I feel that I'm doing what God wants me to do. I feel his pleasure. And when I don't, I feel a little disconnected.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back and divert just slightly from these books. When we come back, I want to talk to you about you and Holly. You guys are both believers, husband and wife. I want to ask you a little bit about that in the midst of all that you do, how you keep that relation solid. So we'll be back with Dave Slade right after these messages.
Skip high success. Temptations can feel warm and alluring, but it'll leave us with a cold, wintry distance from God.
And this is where the battle is won or lost.
Or lost.
Because once you see something, it's now what do you do with what you see? Do you keep on seeing? Do you go from seeing to beholding? Or do you
turn away
and see something else?
Skip says one good way to withstand temptation is to stay busy.
Your greatest battles don't come when you're busy. They come when you're bored.
Access Skip's full teaching library at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com.
We don't always collapse in a weak moment. Sometimes we cultivate it.
One sin always leads to another sin. It's not like one and it's over.
Subscribe to the Skip Heitzig podcast on your mobile device. You know where.
Send is the most expensive thing in the world because it offends God. The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his goings.
Looking directly at the brightness of the sun is dangerous, but there has never been a recorded case of injury from looking on the bright side of life. Optimism is a wonderful trait to possess, but unless it's grounded in the goodness of God, it's baseless. Why should we hope things have a good purpose when we can know? We can be optimists not because we have a perky personality, but because God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. It's good to be an optimist. It's even better to hope in the certainty of God's purposes. and this is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's purposes on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dave Slade in studio with Jim Williams this afternoon. Thank you for joining us here on ABQ Connect in the Power Forward studios, Faith Family Forward, Power Forward. Dave, we were just talking a little bit about your writing and real estate, both commercial and residential, and how cathartic and therapeutic it is to write books going through some difficult things. I appreciate your vulnerability, especially sharing about the loss of a child, Dave. It's devastating, but I think people that are listening will be encouraged to know you can get through it. And God has some purpose.
You know, one of the things that I've learned about writing is every experience in my life becomes fodder for writing. And real writing is being able to take the devastating things that have happened to us in life and understanding the process of grief, the process of joy, and the process of loss, the process of new life, and all these things, and put this into your writing. So I have kind of a memory that remembers all of these people, all of the good and all of the bad things that have happened to me, really from the time I'm a kid. And I use these, I bring these back in my stories.
In your stories. So tell us about Holly and your relationship. You guys been together for how long? You've been business partners, so you're working together all day. You're together having dinner every night. A lot of us are not very good at that. I know I had a failed marriage, and I was not particularly good at that.
Well, I married an extraordinary woman, and I remember when I met her, I told her after 2 weeks that I'm going to marry you, and she just laughed and laughed. Yeah. And, of course, it took a long, long time for that actually to become a reality. And Holly and I met while I was going to the School of Ministry, and we broke up, I think, about a year and a half after that, and we did not get back together for 7 years.
Wow.
And many things happened during that seven-year period. And primarily, all of it was designed to change my heart, because I, even though I was a believer, my heart was not right toward marriage, and I had had an unsuccessful marriage, and God needed to change me, and He's still changing me, and that's the process of relationship. You know, God is relational, and He wants relationships to work. And the primary problem most people have in relationships is their pride, their ability to be able to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, forgive me, and then to be able to actually implement real change in the relationship. Holly has got a great gift of wisdom, and I would credit most everything that I've done successfully since I've been married to her gift of wisdom. God just gave her that. People flock to her. They ask her advice all the time. She used to write a column here called Dear Gracie, kind of like a Ann Landers, Dear Abby type thing. She's got that great gift, and she's got a great gift of discernment. And that's helped me, because I don't particularly have both of those in any abundance.
Well, and you mentioned you went to the School of Ministry, and before that you had had a little falling away from your relationship with God. Dave, I get the distinct impression that when you decide to do something, you go about reckless abandon 150 miles an hour. So was it hard to hold back when you were dating Holly and things weren't going quite as fast as you would like?
Oh, it was a difficult 7 years, very, very difficult. And but, you know, give a moment of honesty here. For me, I had always been in a relationship with a woman. And Holly told me early on, you need to just be out of relationship with no one. Now, I finally achieved that. It took, you know, a period where I didn't date anybody for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I had to get out of a relationship that was dependent on somebody else and allow that dependency to be upon God. And, of course, I became a third wheel, if you will, with one of my close friends. And I went everywhere with him and his wife. And that was fine. And they were very kind to me in allowing me to hang out with him all the time. And hanging out with my kids, but I got out of relationship. I needed to be away from that to really understand who I was and what was important to me rather than having somebody on my arm that made me feel good about me.
So you go in, you go through difficult times. How important is fellowship in the middle of all that?
Oh, fellowship is incredible. You know, this is why I'm a big believer in men fellowshipping with each other, because men's relationships are very different than man-woman relationship. And, you know, men are able to be able to open up and share things, because we all go through the same things, Jim.
Sure.
I mean, if we really sit down and talk about it, the differences and the problems that we deal with are not that different from man to man. It's how we deal with the problems that are different.
Sure.
And that we need encouragement. We need to say, hey, you know, I went through this. How did you deal with it?
Well, if you haven't been to a men's Bible study, I can imagine people thinking that you're going to go into a big room, the chairs are in a big circle, and it's going to be like an AA meeting, and you each stand up and say something. Is that kind of how it's structured?
Well, not in my Bible study, it's not. You know, we have a teaching segment. It's about 30 minutes. And then we spend the rest of 30 minutes, the latter part of 30 minutes, in groups, small groups. And these groups are people where they get to know each other. And they can open up and they can share their issues with each other. And I think that's important, to be able to form these bonds that are so vital for men. Because let's face it, I mean, men are being emasculized now in society. They're being basically denigrated through Hollywood, through a variety of different media. And the man, time and time again, in terms of studies, shows that they're one of the most important parts of family. A woman trying to raise a son without a man is going to have big issues.
Right, right. Well, and it sounds like you had to learn a lot about being a man and being the spiritual leader, and those were things that you didn't do early on.
I did, because I grew up without a father. My parents divorced when I was 12 years old, and I spent my entire teenage years without any father figure. And, yeah, I had to learn it on my own, and it was an easy process.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting thing, and kind of indirectly tied, I mean, you still have your dad, and I know you've gotten that relationship a little bit closer over the years, which is a real blessing. And I've told you this off the air, your dad was very involved with Lobo basketball when I was at the University of New Mexico.
Yes.
And your father, Dave, was very kind to us, you know, very generous, you know, just looking out for us. He traveled on many trips with us. So, you know, I know he's probably blessed to know that you're his son and that you guys have a closer relationship.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. He's a great man, and I've learned a great many things from him. He really taught me a lot about being a man and growing up.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your children now, all grown up.
All grown up, and Holly and I have 5 grandchildren now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes you, let's see, 5 times 6 times older than I am.
Yeah, I'm older than you, Jim, that's for sure.
Well, you're actually at years, only 2 years older, but I tease all of my friends that have grandchildren. I have 5 children.
Yeah.
And I don't have any grandchildren yet.
Yeah, well, I got started earlier than you did, Jim. You were playing basketball.
That's fine. Now, I am quite disappointed, just to let you know, that I'm not seeing any basketball players in the Christ Virus or Dark Star Rising.
You know what? I've got a new book. I just mentioned it to Holly today that I'm going to be starting on just as soon as I wrap up this last one. You're going to love it. It's called Long Shot.
Long Shot.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'll be visiting with you.
That's great. Well, you know, I tease people all the time about basketball being God's game. But the truth is that ball is only mentioned one time in the scriptures. And I can't remember the verse, but it basically talks about God rolling someone out into the desert to be destroyed. And of course,
that's great.
And of course, there's people that talk about, you know, my friends that are runners, we used to work out on the track at UNM in the preseason.
Yeah.
And all of my friends that were on the track team would make fun of us because, you know, are you guys going to get around the track sometime today?
Yeah.
You know, those are the kind of comments that we used to listen to. But they would all think, and it's true. I mean, the only thing real sport mentioned in the Bible is running.
Yeah.
And, you know, running the race. Now, some baseball players would say that the very first line of the Bible, in the big inning, is a reference to baseball.
But oh, that's good.
We'll let that go.
I like that.
We'll let that go. We're going to have more with Dave Slade in our final segment. Stay with us here on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
You've found your forever girl, and for the first time, Proverbs 31 makes complete sense. She truly is worth more than rubies. Let John Thomas Jewelers help you find the perfect engagement ring. We have over 2,000 rings in stock to see and try on, the ability to custom make any ring you can dream of, and prices you thought you'd only find online. John Thomas Jewelers at 2440 Louisiana Boulevard on the third floor of the Lewis University building. Stop in and let us know you're a fellow KNKT listener.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
This is John MacArthur welcoming you to Portraits of Grace. Joseph's life was marked by exceptional trust in God and personal integrity. His understanding of God's sovereignty was unique among the patriarchs. Even though he suffered greatly at the hands of evildoers, including his own brothers who sold him into slavery, Joseph recognized God's hand in every event of his life and submitted to God's will. The genius of Joseph's faith was understanding the role that present circumstances play in fulfilling future promises. He accepted both blessing and adversity because he knew God would use them to accomplish greater things in the future. Joseph is the classic Old Testament example of the truth that God works all things together for good to those that love him. That's a promise you can rely on. This is John MacArthur, hoping you'll join me again for Portraits of Grace.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to our final segment of ABQ Connect this afternoon. Thankful that you're joining us this afternoon. Hoping you're having a good day. Dave Slade in studio here with Jim Williams. Dave, we've got a couple of great books that you've put together, The Christ Virus and Dark Star Rising. And tell me how do things like this turn into screenplays and movies and those type of things? Do you have some inquiries about that type of thing?
Well, the latest book, Dark Star Rising, there is a screenplay that's being written. It's about halfway done right now. I'm working with a writer right now on that. You know, when I write, I actually see the events that I'm writing. I see them in my head. So it may be why they are adaptable to the big screen, because I see it as a movie when I'm writing. So I see the things that are happening. That's how I visualize things.
How much does the story change in order to write a screenplay?
Well, it changes quite a bit. I mean, for example, Christ Virus is about 380 pages long, 400 pages. A screenplay is about 110 pages.
Wow.
And a screenplay is largely based upon dialogue. So the dialogue has got to be very, very strong. And, of course, you have many advantages in a screenplay that you don't have in a novel. And that is that you have the ability of a camera to be able to switch from one point of view to another point of view, whereas in a book, you're dealing with one point of view at one time, and whereas in a movie, you can be in somebody else's mind constantly, and then suddenly switch to another situation. So you have a lot more tools to work with in a screenplay than you do with a novel. That being said, it's much harder to write a screenplay, in my opinion, than a novel, because a novel, you've got the ability to be verbose. You're not worried about how many words it's going to be or how many pages. Whereas in a screenplay, you're tight on a schedule. You know, you figure most movies are about an hour and 50 minutes or less. And so you've got to keep that in mind when you're writing.
People that are listening this afternoon interested in picking up The Christ Virus or Dark Star Rising, how do they get a hold of your books?
Well, both of these are available at Parchments here at Calvary Church. They're also available at Amazon.com, so you can get them both there. And The Christ Virus also has a Kindle version, and we're getting ready to release a Kindle version now on Dark Star Rising.
Oh, nice. Now, I did notice there was no iBooks version.
No iBooks. Sorry, Jim.
And I never know. I mean, I never know the economics of how all of this happens, but I'm one of those people that I have one of these giant phones because I can't see. So I read a lot of books on my phone.
Do you really? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a single thing that I can hold with me, and when I have breaks and I'm doing things, I'm reading.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, I do both. I read on a regular iPad when I'm going digital, but there's something about the being able to touch the book and the feel of paper.
You and Heitzig have that same thing.
Is that right?
Yeah, you guys both have probably more books than anyone else.
Well, he's got me beat by a long shot. I've been in Skip's library. And
he has got a pile.
It's enormous.
Well, and you know, he puts those to good use, as you
have. Oh, he does.
I mean,
he does.
You've got to, if you ever need a resource, Skip Heitzig's got the reference.
Yeah, I don't know that Skip reads a lot of fiction, but he is a prolific reader, and you know, you can just tell from his language, his vocabulary, that he reads a lot. You can always tell a lot about a person from their vocabulary.
So we have a third book coming out. You mentioned off air that you're about done writing it. Yep. What's the process now for it to be released?
What I'm going to do, I'm going to do something a little differently. I've written the book now, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to record it. I'm going to go through and read the whole book out loud and record it, and then I'm going to listen to it over the next month. To make sure that the language flows. You and I off air were talking about the fact that some books, they're written so poorly in their prose that they just kind of put stop signs up when you're reading them. I think the flow of language is very, very important. And you have to get the right connection in your prose when you're putting it down. So that's the purpose of that. And just to make sure that everything works through the story. You know, there's a different process in reading the written word rather than listening to the word. They're different. They sure react differently to us. So I'm going to do that. And once I do that, then I release it to beta readers. And I'll have you, if you're open, I'll let you be a beta reader. And I want to find some millennials. I want to find some teenagers to read it because it's really written for a younger audience. And then I have two editors I work with. One does what's called a line edit. And she'll go through and she'll correct all of the commas and punctuation. And then I have another one who works for a lot of the big publishing houses. And I release it to him, and he's what's called a red ink, a red pen edit. And it's pretty tough. And he'll go through it, and he's edited for Ted Decker and several different authors out there. And then with that, we're ready to go. Then we take it. Then from that point, I take it to an agent, and then we try to sell it.
Do you have a certain publisher that does everything for you, or do you have to negotiate that every time you come out with a book?
No, these two books here were published by Zebulon, and Zebulon is an indie publisher. But the next book, because it won't be specific, a Christian book per se, we're going to try to go mainstream with that, with HarperCollins or Doubleday or one of the big publishers out there, and that's who will be.
But still based on pretty strong Christian principles.
Yes, absolutely. This next book deals a lot with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. The power within us.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And I'm reading a book right now called The Forgotten God about the Holy Spirit, and it's so true. That is the one part of the Trinity that most people completely neglect.
So wrapping all this up this afternoon, Dave, your two books, The Christ Virus, your first book, the second one, Dark Star Rising. If people are really interested in Bible prophecy, give us some reference that they can go to and start reading about Bible prophecy, and maybe they're going to come up with a bunch of stories to follow yours.
Well, I hope so. One of the best books on Bible prophecy is The End by Mark Hitchcock. Mark Hitchcock endorsed Dark Star Rising. He is a real scholar, and I love his book. It's called The End, and it's a great book, and it just kind of goes through and lays out all the different pieces and parts of prophecy. There's also a book by Dwight Pentecost that Parchments has right now, and it's also on prophecy. So there's lots and lots of different authors out there. I would say Hitchcock, Walvoord, Pentecost are some of the very best writers out there in terms of prophetic scripture.
And what they're doing is really explaining the actual scriptural basis and exegesis of the word.
Absolutely, exegesis of the word, well said.
And then you have to be creative about filling in the blanks, as Dave Slade has been. So, Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, Jim. Always really enjoyed it.
See you soon.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at knkt.com.